Living a life that depicts the teachings of Islam is the dream of every Muslim. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, is in collaboration with Muslim Public Affairs Center, NPAC. Everyday Muslim will address the misconceptions on Islam, foster a peaceful coexistence, and guide the everyday Muslim on the journey in Islam. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, simplified understanding of the deen.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. My name is Abdul Hakim Qasim and I welcome you to another edition of Everyday Muslim on WFM 91.7. Today is the 21st day of Shawwal, 1446 AH, corresponding to the 19th of April 2025. By implication, we are already 3 weeks out of Ramadan. So we are 21 days into the month of Shawwal. Let us continue to strive to uphold the spirit of the blessed month of Ramadan. And let's not forget the 6 days of fasting in the month of Shawwal. So we have just barely 8 days to go in the month of Shawwal. So if you've not started, the opportunity is still there. 6 days, Rasulullah alayhi wasalam says, whoever fasts the month of Ramadan and follows it up with 6 days of fasting in Shawwal would be rewarded as if he had fasted for an entire year. So it is important that we make use of this wonderful opportunity. On Everyday Muslim Show, we try to address misconceptions about Islam, foster peaceful coexistence within the society, and guide the everyday Muslim on their journey in Islam. Allah the Almighty, the Exalted, says in the glorious Quran, in Quran chapter 30, verse 21, and among his signs is that he created for you your mates, your spouses, from among yourselves, that you may find repose in them, and he has put between you affection and mercy. Verily, in this are signs for those who reflect. Today, inshallah, biqudratillah, we want to move into a discussion that centers around relationship and communication in relationship. And that's why today we want to look at effective communication in marriage. Tips for healthy communication. So, whether you're married, or you're about to get married, or you're still, dreaming and hoping of getting married, all this, you need to get yourself prepared. You need to prepare your minds, and you need to know the rudiments of effective communication in relationships. And to take us through this discussion today, we have Hajja Amina Yunus Ali. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
It's a pleasure to have you again on Everyday Muslim.
Thank you very much for always having me.
Alright. For those of you that are home, or that you might be, watching us, via social media, and probably you're meeting Hajja Amina Yunus Ali for the first time, she is a dedicated and Hajja Amina Yunus Ali. Hajja Amina Yunus Ali is a dedicated and certified professional with a multifaceted background in the field of family therapy, performance consulting, and neuro-linguistic programming. Her extensive expertise enables her to employ therapeutic techniques to support clients in identifying and healing unresolved childhood trauma, navigating the complexities of grief, and overcoming psychological barriers that hinder pursuit of a healthy lifestyle. She stands as a distinguished master practitioner and holds a prominent role in the management board of the Institute of Family System Engineering and Development. She is an an active member of the Esteem Network of Family Systems Engineering Professionals, where she contributes her wealth of knowledge and experience. Furthermore, she is a certified mediator, having received her accreditation from the International Mediation Campus in Germany. Her specialization lies in the field of family mediation, where she excels in facilitating constructive resolutions within family dynamics. She has also been inducted as a fellow and a member of the Institute of the Chartered Institute of Professional Mentoring and Coaching Nigeria. So, Hajja Amina Yunus Ali, assalamu alaikum once again, and welcome to Every Muslim Pro.
Alaikum assalam wa barakatuh.
All right. So, for listeners, you can also have a feel of what the studio looks like, and if you also want to see Hajja Amina Yunus Ali, because this program is streaming live on Facebook via Everyday Muslim page, Everyday Muslim, Facebook page. You can log in on Facebook to view the studio and also to send your comments on the live feeds on Facebook. Again, the page is Everyday Muslim on Facebook. Later on in the program, we will open our phone lines for you to call in and share your thoughts. At the same time, the program is also streaming simultaneously on the YouTube page of Women Radio 91.7. So the YouTube page of Women Radio, you can go online and to have a feel and to also meet our guests. So we are moving into the discourse proper. And like I said, we are discussing effective communication in marriage, tips for healthy communication. All right. To begin with, the situation where we are today is a situation where a lot of times many people speak, but few actually get to listen. So, looking at that situation, how then do we define effective communication, especially within the sphere of marriage? And what does, the breakdown of communication often signal deeper spiritual and emotional neglect?
Yeah, it does. And thank you for having this discourse, really. If we break it down, effective communication. Effective, it means something is working.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
Or something should work. The expected result is that we want something to work. And communication, basically, we know it's not just about talking. It's the fact that I can say what I want to say and you can understand what I'm saying. And the feedback reflects that.
Communication has taken place.
Yes, communication has taken place. When it comes into marriage, what are the things that actually begins to show that effective communication is happening? We talk about the structure of communication. We talk about the emotions of communication, which is what I think that second part is what a lot of us struggle
with
to manage or to reflect or to absorb and observe in our relationships. And then the third part of it is the quality of our communication. So the structure, the emotions, and the quality of the emotions would define what effective communication in marriages would reflect. So if I were to extend that, I would say that when I speak in my intimate relationship with clarity and with the precision that the result or the words and the tonality are being matched with my intention for getting an intimate connection, the emotions with my spouse, takes place with a desired result, that there is a resolution, there is an amendment or adjustment, and there is a connection that we are both looking forward to.
So those elements must be there.
Yes.
I'm able to express myself.
Yes.
The other party gets to understand what I'm trying to say. Yes. And I get the appropriate feedback that shows that connection, especially the emotional connection. Between the parties that are involved. All right. That's very good, because I know quite well that as much as we try to emphasize the issue of, relationship, marriage, and the fact that we need to maintain our bonds, one thing is we have come to realize that in the world today, I don't know whether probably it's because of the economic pressures or, so many chaos in the society. Keeping relationships now is becoming like a mountainous task for a lot of people, and it's important that we really pay attention to communication, within relationships. All right, so we have a situation that a lot of times, even for situations where the union is still intact, there are tensions. Usually, and it arouses, it arises between, spouses. So when such situations arise, so what are those kind of principles that can guide them towards building a safe emotional space where that you're trying to speak your truth is not, met with kind of misunderstanding or even, a backlash. Because a lot of times people are afraid of really expressing their real feelings because of the fear of, the kind of feedback that they would get. So when tensions now arise, so what kind of principles can, partners in such relationship adopt or implement in such a way that one can really express oneself without having to be afraid of, what kind of, reaction or feedback you'd get.
The beauty of it is that we're discussing this on Every Day Muslim. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you are the best of mankind, He has perfected for you your religion, you forbid what is bad and you enjoin what is good. In that, you also go to Surah Al-Rum where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
the one I quoted there.
He has created from you and from amongst yourselves spouses where you would find two things, mawadda and rahma. Mawadda, the love, the loving kindness, the compassion, the connection that we're talking
about,
and then the rahma, and which is that of
mercy,
graciousness, mercy, and forgiveness. When people get triggered with forgiveness, I say compassion instead, right? Those two elements, and add that with the principles of communication itself, active listening. You do not just listen to, I could be so fluent in English, but be here and say absolutely jargons, and nobody hears what I'm saying. I wouldn't have communicated.
Absolutely.
But then again, I could come here with a script and just be relating with you and waiting for my script, and I still wouldn't have passed the message because there is no interaction
taking place.
So that is efficient, right? If I came here with a script and I started reading off that script, it would be efficient. It will save us time and energy and all that. But if you want to talk about effective communication, you have to get to the root cause. Where did we all learn to talk in the first place? We learned to talk at the feet of our parents. How did they communicate with each other? Right? And if we
in this African society, probably for today, these current times, but in the past then, communication, in fact, it's as if that word did not exist then.
Exactly.
It's as if it did not exist.
What does exist even now is still not effective enough. It could be efficient, but it is not effective enough because we're still bypassing those elements that I've just talked about. The kindness, which is the mawadda, which is the and then we are missing the loving expectation. Because if I come to you and I say, there's something that I wanted to complain about or I want to share with you, and then your defenses are up. I haven't even provided that safety for you to land.
Really?
There's a lack of that loving expectation that whatever it is that you want to say to me is expected to be kind, is expected to be loving, is expected to make me feel like I'm going to be better in this relationship. But if my guards are already up at the mention of we need to talk, it begins to show us that, well, then something is missing. It begins to show us that then, what is the establishment? What is this relationship founded on? And then, the other elements which comes from psychology, active listening, trust, safety. Those are the other things, other principles that we can add to it. But if the first two are missing, it is pretty difficult for us to even go into the things that qualify as effectiveness in the relationship in the first place.
All right. Because as I say all these things, I'm trying to relate, personally with it, and sometimes even, relating with myself. And sometimes when he wants to say anything, you already believe, I already know what you want to say. So you're already, in fact, she has not even really finished what she wants to say. She's still trying to prepare a background, and you're already saying, so this is where you are going. So, allow me even finish. You've not even heard what I want to say, because I know where you want to land already. That kind of
the atmosphere
is kind of even hostile to the expression of what the other person wants to say, and I can understand. So when we have this kind of situation, and sometimes as we listen to some of these talks, and we're like, okay, all right, we are ready to change, we want to make adjustments, want to make amends, but then you're like, so where do I begin from? Where do I start from? Because, you know, there's this common joke out there that, you know, men went to probably a kind of seminar and they're trying to talk to them about how you need to communicate well with your wife. And that. And the question is, what was even the last time you told your wife, I love you? And I said, okay, send a message. Okay, all of you now, send a text message or send a message to your wife now that I love you. And you could hear, you know, the kind of different kinds of reactions that... who is this? Is this a wrong number? Do you want to ask for more money, right?
Exactly.
Or like, have you impregnated someone? Am I dreaming? I know different kinds of things like that. So people are always kind of like afraid that, okay, so now after listening to some of these things, I want to like change. So where do we start from? Or how do I even begin? So the struggle for where to even begin this, kind of realignment, change, amendment, and the things like that. For a lot of people, they don't even know where to begin from. So now, in this kind of case, what are the deliberate, everyday actions couples can take, which can begin the healing of a broken or weak relationship?
I think for a lot of us, we first need to go back to our own selves and recognize what is our communication pattern. I've seen situations where people can be so fantastic outside. They are the kindest, most active listeners, most effusive and persuasive communicators with their colleagues, with their friends. But when it comes to intimate relationships, there's just this thing, this triggers that you just, it's like they're sitting on a pin and they can't wait to just flare up and jump up. So you first need to ask yourself, where did I learn to listen and talk when it comes to intimate relationships? You would find that even with your best intentions, the script that is running in the background of your relationship is not the one that you know is right. It is the one that has been conditioned for you from childhood.
Absolutely.
It is the way you've observed your father and your mother related to one another. And that expectations of what you already assume a relationship, a marriage should look like for yourself. And if you do not uncover that in the first instance, you would be dousing petrol, you would be dousing a fire with more petrol, and it would just, you would want to say, but I'm doing my best. But really, that best is coming.
So we need to first unlearn. Some of those things, some of those thoughts.
And it's not just men; it's even for women who want to have a better relationship. And you have to first recognize that whatever it is that you are expecting, unless you say it, they will tell you that, oh, but we've been living together for 20, 25 years. How can you not know what I want? Men are not mind readers. No one is a mind reader. The same way that you would want your child to talk to you is also, as in to share what it is that they are struggling with, is the same way that you also have to learn to share with your spouse what you are struggling with or what you expect, and you have to share it in an amicable manner with the understanding that there is quantity, which is process and communication, and there's quality, which is the effectiveness in communication. So if you really want the desired result to be effective, you first have to unlearn where you're coming from. Then the next step would be to say, and I always love this, I always tell my clients, please call a family meeting and tell them that, look, I've done a self-portrait. I understand to the best of my ability where the struggles are, but I want you to tell me, what are the things that you think I can do better when I'm communicating with you? You would be shocked, from your spouse to your children, when they are giving you feedback. I was listening to my daughter one day describing me to myself, and I'm like, okay, Amina, there's something. Without my professionalism and everything, I still need to work on something.
I get that.
So it is recognizing that, look, you may have this picture of yourself in your head that you think you're presenting to your family, but it is different until you hear them talk. And then you ask them to give you important points that you can work on in the next 1 month. Such that, so they become your accountability partners.
Absolutely.
So the next time you come home frowning and they say, Daddy, you said that you're not going to frown. Or your spouse looks at you and say, okay, I want to talk. And immediately you're shifting You say, hold on.
Calm
we
down.
We have a code word. What's that code word? Love and affection or something, or unity or something. Can we understand that this space is a safe space, first and foremost? And that you're going to listen without judgment. We listen, we don't judge.
Is it? Yeah. We listen, we don't judge. Yeah.
So, you know, and then you actually let your shoulders fall and then you relax and you wait to help. Even if you don't, you have responses at that time, it will be better for you to hold on and to say, okay, can I think about this for a little bit and come back and give you what I think. So that whatever ego or whatever hurt or whatever emotions that has been evoked in that instance, you've had the time to peruse them and to reflect on them. And then now approach them with the mindset of what Mawadda and Rahma. I have
love
heard
and mercy.
You. I have heard what you said, and these are the things that I've reflected on. Yes, it hurt me, but, you know, when I went back and I reflect on it, I think that this and this are what you've said, you know, and I think that these are the things that we can begin to do. It makes it easier. You see that word default of listen, respond, and react would now begin to take a different shape. And this is where communication and connection really lies. This is where love, dismember love, this is where attention, affection, and appreciation in marriages lie.
Attention, affection, appreciation. I'm joking. Breaking down love. Yeah. Affection. Attention.
Attention, first. Affection, and appreciation.
Affection and appreciation. I love that. All right. Okay. I'm learning. All right. Yeah, and it's good to learn. Seriously, it's good to learn. Because I'm trying to, you know, when you first said that, you know, children, I remember that, you know, my daughter said, I was out there and they were describing me first to my wife, and my wife told me, say, guy, you need to really pay attention to some things. This is, you know, the perception your children have about you. See, let me call one of them, let them come and listen to what they're saying. And when I listen, I like, the reality is I can't see myself. And I think for a lot of people out there, we can't see ourselves. So our spouses, our kids, our family members are the mirrors through which we can actually, you know, have a reflection of ourselves. And so and it pays us better to listen to them for us to have a true perception of, number one, who we are and how people perceive us. So that we don't just have this kind of picture that I'm this Superman, you know, superhero, you know, perception of myself, not understanding the fact that they might have different perception of, you know, that thing. So it's important. It's important. And I love the fact that you said you have broken down love, you know, to those three A's. Attention, affection, and appreciation. All right. That's key. All right. So now, but in relationship, find out that the partners in this union are people with different backgrounds, with different temperaments, with different uniqueness. All right. And that's the uniqueness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us. Now, so how should couples, you know, approach communication when their natural dispositions differ? You know, you have probably one couple expressive, outspoken, you know, and the other one is cool, calm, collected, reserved, doesn't say much, and it's kind of like, it's not everything I need to say. So now I have like, are they really you know, sometimes you even ask yourself, how are they able to maintain that compatibility? Because one is the ever speaking one, the loud one, and the other one is the ever calm listening one, you know. So how do they do this without really falling into frustration or blame that it's because of this and that? So is it because I'm being calm, so you're taking my gentility for stupidity or what? You know, and the other one is like, you know, because okay, you know, I'm loud, that's who I am, and whenever I say it,
this
that's the end.
Accept me
for who I am and things like that. So how do they do this without having to, you know, really regret about who they are or the kind of upbringing or, you know, uniqueness that, you know, Allah has deposited in them?
SubhanAllah, I think one of the things that help is recognizing that if we were all the same, this world would be so boring.
Very boring. Very, very boring.
It would be so boring. So if we can, if you can always revert back to that humor of, gosh, this is interesting. Like, I'm looking at you and I'm just seeing how different you are to me.
Totally.
It is a humorous place to be, but it also douses tension of expectation so high that you want the person to be like you or to respond the way you are or to react the way you would normally in a relationship. But here's also the thing. Our personalities are not just something that came up in a vacuum. SubhanAllah, Allah created us with different unique strengths. And we accompany those strengths as certain areas of improvement. But we do not know this until we begin to interact with one another on a larger scale of situation or environment. And we begin to say that, oh, wow. So in the situation where somebody would have just flared up, you're now finding somebody who is thinking and saying, I'm thinking, and this thinking is going for 3 days, and you're like, oh, Benny, give me the answer right now. How can you not just...
I told you, I
you are wasting time, you know.
I need to really reflect about this. Give me time.
Exactly. And that just triggers you because you're like, no, this is something I would have figured out myself. Why is this taking on so long?
And just 2 + 2 equals also, why are you dilly-dallying?
Here's the recognition of communication management according to personalities. It is to leave space for compassion, right? If you really want to manage conflict, if you really want to manage expectations where communication is aligned in your relationship, in your marriage, then you have to make space for compassion. Compassion in the sense that you are giving that person the opportunity to, number one, recognize themselves, identify with a part of themselves in this communication project, let's call it a project, right? And then allow them to respond the way they are. After which you can now say, you know what, I hear what you're saying. However, because this is a marriage, so in Islam we would struggle to call it a partnership, but even at that, you recognize that there is a value that this other adult in this adult relationship is bringing, is because you found some value in from the them. You found value in them, and that is why you're together. So you have to allow that to come to bear. You have to allow that to show up. So when you're asking things that has to do with making decisions together, and the other person is, let's do this ABC, and you're like, wait, let's think about it and this. Give that space to understand. Look, I understand that this is a time-sensitive thing. Can you give me, instead of 2 days, give me 2 hours to just go back and think about it? And you would know that 2 hours for this person is really a struggle, you know, it's really a struggle for them to really come up with an answer or a response in that time. But you see that they are showing effort.
That's sincerity.
So compassion comes with clarity. Compassion comes with connection. And it also convinces you that this person is willing to invest in the relationship, in the marriage. And all, at the end of the day, it is about recognizing the feet of Allah, making sure that everything is being returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you are appreciative of the fact that you do not know everything. You do not know what the other person is struggling with. If they say they don't have an answer, they may really not have an answer. Okay, so can you give me a time when you probably have an answer? And they're saying, I don't know. Okay, now that's shutting down, right? I don't know. It's not an answer.
Absolutely.
Okay, what do you think would help me know or help you know when to come back to the situation? Now you know that this is important to this person, and you need to pay attention, and you need to show affection and say, okay, affection, my dear, I know you want an answer now, but there's a lot on my plate that I'm struggling with. How long can you wait for me? Throw the person back. How long can you wait for me to provide an answer? And then they give you a timeline. If you can work with the timeline, appreciate it. If you can't work with the timeline, again, affection. Pay attention to what their needs are. Why do you need this at this point in time? Why can't we wait for so time? And then at least that element of connection would have been fulfilled.
An engagement is already even taken place.
Exactly. As opposed to, your own is too much. Why is it that everything has to happen now?
Or even of all the things in this world.
That is the thing that matters to you, you know?
Why are you so inconsiderate?
Exactly. And it just hurts because, look, Yes, I am my person, and I would love you to accept me for who I am. But what they're also saying is this: am I making space to allow you into who I am? To remodify or to remove, just for the purpose of this conversation, for us to really talk about this thing the way it matters to me in that space. And that is where, you know, some of us miss the connection in our relationships. And so it's a learning process. It is not that as you're listening to me now, you begin to say, oh, you've heard all the elements, you're immediately going to be able to imbibe it. Because you see, there's still this rote mechanism work behind us. And that is the veil of the learning space, where who we have always been will show up when we are triggered or when we are stressed. And until we relieve those spaces and learn, really, why do I get triggered when somebody shouts? Why do you get triggered when a baby cries? A baby's natural conversation model is to cry. Why do you get triggered? Because perhaps when you were a baby, somebody told you, shut up, why are you always crying? It's the only tears that you know. And then you learned that, and you absorbed that,
right,
and you began to live that, and you believed that, nobody is crying. So again, you look at the person who is your spouse, and they are saying, and they are always at that high-pitched, defensive attack model, and you're asking yourself, what made this person the way they are? If you go back to their childhood, you would most likely find that there are elements of constant defense or attack that they have had to live by. And until they relieve that, it is pretty difficult for them to go on.
All right. I would want to ask, I know time is, you know, going far, but then we'll go on break. But I want you to give this, thought. I'll ask the question and I'd expect a response when you come back. I know quite well in a lot of relationships, so people listen to respond and not necessarily to understand. And we have a situation where in trying to communicate, like those assumptions are out there and we've been able to identify them. So, but in this case, so how can spouses train their hearts and tongues to practice active listening as an act of love, mercy, and responsibility, and not really as a defense mechanism, really? As you are already saying, instantly the response is coming, so you want to give it back, fire for fire. So it's not a case of omololi look BC. I want to show that I have a perfect response.
Yeah.
So I want you to keep that thought. We'll go on a short break. When we return the program continues, please stay with us.
Now I look at you and there's a few wrinkles and lines, but I still see the same beautiful smile. And it hurts to know someday the light will fade from your eyes. 'Cause you're the woman I love, you're the woman I love, my mother. You're the woman I love. Life just passes by, a fragile butterfly. I thank Allah to have you by my side. You see my heart beat a little faster the day I held your hand. We were young then, learning together to love and understand. You help me to be who I am. Now after all these years, I look at you, my beautiful bride. My whole life is right there in your eyes. And Allah allows me every day to wake up.
All right, you're still listening to Everyday Muslim on WFM Women Radio 91.7. And we are discussing effective communication in marriage, tips for healthy communication. And our guest is Hajia Amina Yunus Ali. You can be a part of this discuss by calling in on the number 07000-917-917 for our female listeners. Our toll-free line is 0800-1235-917 0800-1235-917. You can also send in a message via text or WhatsApp to the number 081-55-917-917 081-55-917-917. The program is also streaming live on Facebook via Everyday Muslim page. So you can log on to Facebook through and go to Everyday Muslim, search Everyday Muslim, connect with us, and you'll be able to view the studio. You can also send in your message via the live feeds. At the same time, the program is also streaming simultaneously on YouTube, WFM Women Radio, YouTube page. So you can also view the program from there, listen, and also send in your comments. We'll be very, very glad to hear from you. So I asked a question before we went on break, and that has to do with the fact that, so how can couples really train their hearts and their tongue to really communicate and listen to the other person, so that you're listening to understand and you're not listening to respond, and putting into consideration the fact that you have at the center of all this love, mercy, responsibility, affection to the other person.
Okay, so I think what I would start with would be to say, what are your safe words? It seems funny, but it's like, understanding before you can even craft your safe words, you have to first know what your trigger words. There are some people that, shut up is an immediate trigger. How dare you?
Shut up is an insult.
But shut up is a statement, right? Shut up.
Some people don't see like
exactly. So for each each person, there's a trigger word. Mm-hmm. It could be something as I'm coming. I'm coming could be a trigger word for his spouse. Like, so that means you're posting me. Mm. Or that means I don't matter. Or my words don't matter. So you first need to identify what your trigger words are. And then also invite the other person to share what their trigger words are. That will begin to help you. So when you are communicating, or you need to have, all those high intensity or high impact conversations, you can now begin to avoid those trigger words. And when you need to get a response, or you need to respond, you also understand the other person's safe words. So safe words would be something like maybe the affectionate nickname, or safe words could be something that brings them into the space of, look, recognize that I'm not judging you here. Recognize that I am in this space with you. I'm just inviting for more conversation so that we are able to resolve this conflict, right? So safe words could be a nickname. Safe words could be your family goal, or your family vision. Safe words could be even the name of Allah. By the name of Al-Wadud, I'm begging you to love me in this conversation. Safe words could be something that invites the other person to, be with you in a safe space together, so that you can have that conversation. So that is one of them. Those are some of the strategies to get into that space of active listening, consistently taking it back that you're responsible not just to each other, but also to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the hadith that says that when two people are together, the third is who? The third is Allah. So you have to appreciate that fact. Another strategy that could work is also constantly preparing yourself for whatever conversation. Have this, it's like you want to go for TEDx. You first have this mirror TEDx moment with yourself first. So you can put yourself in that energy space of, in this case, your spouse, who is the audience, how is my spouse going to receive this conversation so that I am in the optimal energy level. Because even the energy that we shared, you may be saying all the sweetest things, but the energy around you is vibrating malice and hostility and anger. And person is just like, how do I even take this now? Is it the energy that I respond to?
To all the messages.
Other words. Yeah. So, you know, you prepare your energy to be in that space that you truly want to be in. Mm. But these are like band-aids over some of the communication traumas some of us have experienced. Mm. Imagine that time when you wanted to go and ask your mom about a school program and they have just paid your WAEC fees. Mm. And they are like, after all the money that I've just spent to you.
So
in your head, there is a scope of fear that you may have to having conflict resolution or high-impact communication with people that matter to you. Mm. And until that is resolved, it often is like just putting a band-aid where there's a surgical requirement. So we sometimes have to go back and say, I need help. Really, if you understand your personality, you understand that your personality is shaped not just by who you were at birth, but the several values, beliefs, and significant emotional experiences that you've had over time. And those significant emotional experiences will show up, especially in your intimate conversations.
All right. That's very good. Because I know quite well that when challenges come in relationships, it's usually starts because there is a breakdown in communication, and a lot of time it's because people really don't take that time to listen, to understand, and to really engage. It's all about the fact that I'm putting my guards up, so you bring it, I give it back, you bring it, and things like that. So, or like you said, is it when the communication is not commensurate with the energy levels, and at the end of the day, it also brings ambiguity and confusion into the whole space, and like, which one do I even respond to? Is it the energy or the message that is coming? All right. So now, we live in a world today now that is IT pervasive. Ubiquitous everywhere is IT dominated. And even communication and conversations in relationships have now also gone, virtual.
Yeah.
All right. So now, in that kind of space, so how can modern couples who live within this techie space, try to be intentional about prioritizing face-to-face dialogue so that their marriages are sustained by empathy and not necessarily by emojis, Yes, because that's what we get to see now. People don't really, a lot of times you have find out that people don't really express themselves.
I've written now five lines and then the emoji says thumbs up.
I like it. So for all that I have said, this is so not
oh
so like maybe I responded because I like kudos. I'm like, what do you mean? You didn't say anything. So how do we, navigate, this space, this techie space, this IT space that is virtual. I want a physical connection.
Yeah.
But then you're giving me more like, the tech is actually even bringing a barrier rather than actually bringing us together.
Some people converse more on phone than they would when they say.
Yes. So we find people that would say anything they want to say to their spouse, they would rather prefer they actually chat.
Yeah.
They express themselves in chat. But when you ask them to talk, they're like, no, they are taciturn. They are not ready to talk.
Mm.
But allow them to chat. Oh, they'll write epistles. I'm like, come on. And you're like, the expectation is it the same person that is able to say all these sweet, glowing words? I want to hear them. I want to hear. But then nothing is coming. So how do we navigate?
It's a sad experience because one of the assessments that I take couples through when they come to me is the love language assessment. And one of the things that I see over the last couple of years is a significant drop in the language of quality time and the heightened experience of gifts. Experience and expectations even, because you'll find that couples will tell you that their primary love language is gifts. And then things like words of affirmation or quality time are just low rank languages. And it is sad. But you see, here's the thing. We did not learn, this digital world came to meet us. It was filling a void that already existed. And if you don't identify that void, to continue to feel it.
Mm.
The opposite of addiction is connection.
Mm.
The opposite of addiction is connection. If you really want to connect with a person, you want to first rid yourself of the addiction. Why am I addicted to chatting as opposed to having a face-to-face communication? What is the worst that would happen if I were to have the face-to-face communication? But some of us have to retrain our minds the way we would train a child to talk and to learn the ABCs and the 1, 2, 3s. In having those conversations, it will be tough, like I said, because it is just convenient for me to chat and to, even if it's that emoji that you give me, okay, no problem. I'll accept it like that because I know that is who you are. At least we are not fighting over it. But we forget that the reason that we are here, one of the things that you mentioned earlier was that, after people get hurt and then they just withdraw and they retract. The breakdown in communication didn't just happen in a vacuum. It happened as a result of, you said something one time, instead of me addressing it, how it hurt me, and I withdrew, and I kept it in my mind. And then by the time that I brought it, alongside something that you said that just happened. And I like, so that's why you're not piling, you're recording and everything. So you two, you now withdrew. Me too, I withdrew into my own space. Now there is this gap. The gap now came with what? Digital atmosphere. So at least in digital, whatever emoji that I send you would believe, whether it is emoji love or emoji sadness, it doesn't care to me because you're not seeing my face. But like you said, that also withdraws empathy, because empathy only thrives when there is connection, when there is an opportunity for us to talk and to see and to feel what it is that we are saying. So what I would say to our modern couples, don't worry, I'm also one of them, is this. Have date nights. It seems ridiculous that we would sell ourselves before marriage. Like, we would pay attention to everything, the color of Hajia's hijab and how she likes green over blue. And once the market has been bought, we feel like our work has finished.
She knows they go anywhere again. She doesn't stay in my house.
That is what Mawadawa, that we have not just created them for your spouses, but that you would get
that love and affection, tranquility
and that
with
kindness.
Them.
So where does she get it from if it is not existing in the marriage? So she should go back to being a young spinster. I don't know. But you see, if we really want to navigate that space, we have to go back to really paying attention to what matters. Cook together. Play like children. I mean, the love story of the Prophet,
Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam,
that we all love sharing up and down. It wasn't just with Aisha. It was also with Khadija, and how he paid attention to the things that matter. How would he even go to her and say, Zamiloni, cover me, if he didn't know that there was a safe space? Because she would have, if she was a wife, that would say,
Otitide. So you've gone out to do your nonsense. Now you are coming home to come and meet me.
Exactly. How would he be able to pass the message of Islam if he did not have a safe space to run to?
But it's because that safe space existed with Khadija, mother Khadija Radhiallahu Anha. That's why he could run from the cave and come back home, because it feels like, I think I'm safer and I'm protected with her.
How many of our men would be coming back from home and be wondering, how do I even present this issue to my husband in the first instance? Or how many of us as women will be going through stuff, menopause or perimenopause or even premenstrual syndrome, and will be wondering, this man Kuku no understand. You would go to the kitchen and you would still cook, and then the man will come and tell you, Kileton Jai salty. Why is this food this salty in the first instance? And you're like, with all the pain that I've had to use to cook this.
Would
I have been able to communicate that with a phone? I would.
Absolutely.
So empathy thrives in connection. Connection is only possible when we are together in the same space. And the presence of mind to pay attention again. If you really want to show you love somebody, don't just say it. Attention, affection, appreciation. Those three are non-negotiable when it comes to showing your spouse how much you value them.
All right. So now, in this case, when we have a situation, you know, there are times that within a relationship, a partner will feel like, it's like, this person is no longer giving me attention. So someone is feeling neglected, someone is feeling emotionally abandoned. So, and but sometimes you feel like, if I raise it now, it's like I'm raising dust and I don't know what to expect. And it could even worsen the situation because you don't know how the other person will take it and the kind of reaction that you get from it. So, are there faith-based approaches to, you know, this kind of situation where people will be able to express themselves how they feel, speak their truth, uphold dignity, and seek reconnection, you know, when you're feeling that neglect, you know, so to say, with, you know, with your spouse?
Okay, so the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already given us the Quranic process of negotiating, navigating conflicts between spouses. You know, you either speak to one another or you call your family members. Objective family members, mind you, to talk about it, or then you find somebody who is Islamically grounded, well grounded in the process. In this modern times, you can find maybe one, but sometimes not all three at the same time. Somebody who is already feeling emotionally abandoned is already in that mind space that there is nothing I say to this person that would make them hear or see or soothe me. So I don't even know where to begin. Now they are thinking, should I talk to my own family or to talk to his own family? But to each his own, because everybody will take their own child. So objectivity is lost.
Lost, absolutely.
In that space. Then we now say we want to go to the affairs, our scholars. Amazing scholars, to come and help us navigate this issue. But here's the thing. If you do not understand the human essence or the human psychology of relationships, it is pretty difficult for you not to be unobjective. And that is where professionalism comes in.
Okay.
It would be interesting to find that if our mosque also include not just my seminars, that is a one-day workshop, and we will now talk about every single thing under the sun in marriage within 7 hours. But we have consistent marital education. That also involves the Islamic scholars bringing into this space what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has shown us, and how we can navigate it in the complexity of our human relationships with the professionals. So things like family mediation, which is one of the things that I do, marriage therapy also comes into it, because there's so many of our Muslim brothers and sisters who are suffering in silence.
Absolutely.
And they are saying, of course, I can't go to Afar because
I don't want it to look like I'm already
One of the things that I think takes a lot of people up, because I do hear this a lot, is when the Afar saying, you know, the patients want
in Allah Masabir.
Yes, you know, prayer and patience
perseverance, everything. Just
so
gonna pray, just gonna be patient.
Thinking that you are being patient when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you the various ways that you can actually seek resolution. Now, marriage is not meant to be a trap. Marriage is not meant to be a trap. Marriage is not meant to make you feel like you just have to stay there and there is nothing for you to do and you just bear it and bear it and bear it. You are not meant to be a martyr in your marital life.
Wow.
But that is the truth. Now, martyrdom would instill that you are expected that, you've done everything
humanly possible
to get a resolution. But you know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also told us? My land is vast. My land is vast.
Yes.
If this place is not working for you, move. You are not a tree, right? But again, I'm saying this very carefully because somebody will go and put
it on social media. You are saying that if there has been, for better, for still, for
everything humanly possible under the Islamic Sharia that allows you to thrive, to make your relationship thrive
work
as well. It is not just communication that is the thing that holds people back. Actually not willing to grow together is one of the things that holds
us
back.
Absolutely.
And that comes from the fact that you have seen this person, she came in as an ND holder. Now she's aspiring to be a PhD and you're like, this one is too much. That is not what you signed up for. Talk about it. Can you have a communication about it? What are your fears? Because if you can communicate your fears, you can approach the situation with clarity. Right? So almost every other element in the marital space comes with the ability to communicate. And if you don't do that, then it becomes very difficult.
All right. Because of time, I also want to find out, because I'm trying to imagine, because some of the things that you just said now, I know there are some fears, some of these, as far as unfounded fears, sometimes even in the issues of inferiority complex and things like that, will I be able to control her again if she, will her family not, so sometimes, like, even if you want, a lot of times, bringing a third party, sometimes one just has to be very, very careful. People, except people that you trust, or sometimes people that you know that will be very objective.
One spouse trusts one person and doesn't, and the other spouse does not trust.
So it's also another issue. I understand that. So, all right. So, now, beyond the practical benefits, what is the greatest divine and emotional reward of sincere, healthy communication in marriage, especially, and how can couples safeguard these blessings? I mean, the noise and distractions, modern life, so that we would all see the marriage as a safe place for us to really interact, engage, and actually, be productive in various aspects of our lives.
Imagine what it would feel like to have your spouse praying for you more than they pray for themselves.
Allahu Akbar.
Imagine what it feels like to have to always come back home and have this space where you talk about not just everyday living things, but your akhirah together and the kind of expectation you both have of your Lord. And it is at par, because it's not that one person is aspiring for Firdaus,
and another person is even if it's kitchen in the Aljana, it's okay for me.
Do you understand? It is as beautiful as that. When you can imagine living in a space where you feel heard, you feel seen, you feel safe, you feel secured, but ultimately you feel soothed. Because this is a place of comfort. This is a place of safety. This is a place to belong. And you see, every human being who is at one time in a chaos, at one time or the other, experiencing chaos in their lives, ultimately, the reason we are also expected of Firdaus, Jannat of Firdaus, to be that place where we would find all our dreams come true, is also because we are looking for a place to belong. Because this dunya doesn't promise us that. But if you were to have that in your relationship, it is very possible to experience a little bit of Jannah in your relationship. If you can do the work. Because you're doing the work to get into Jannah to Firdaus anyway. So why not just begin to do the work and experiencing a little bit of it right now in your marital relationships?
Which is something that effective communication would actually make us achieve. Wow, because I love that picture. I'm trying to now picture the prayer. Because really, seriously, because Islam has actually taught us that our existence is not just about this world. It is something that if we're able to maintain that, bond, that relationship, have a good relationship with ourselves, also have a very good relationship with our Creator, that union would actually even continue in paradise, in the hereafter. So now imagine that, okay, let's begin this eternal journey together right from earth, where we are actually enjoying and feeling that tranquility of paradise, even right from here on earth. And
the noise is fade away.
Seriously.
The distractions,
the challenges, everything, we know that they are just normal vicissitudes of life, and it will come and they would go away. But our relationship together with ourselves and our relationship with our Creator, something that is more important and something that transcends all these challenges. We are not seeing the challenges. We are actually seeing what is after the challenge, the success in this world and the success in the hereafter together. So, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us experience that kind of joy and tranquility in our relationship. So, we appreciate Hajja Amina Yunus Ali for the insight that she has shared. We appreciate all our listeners and to all those who actually joined us too on social media. Jazakumullah khairan. You can listen again to this episode or the previous episode of Every Muslim on empark-ng.org. Scroll down to click on the Empark project to view Every Day Muslim past uploaded episodes. Follow Every Day Muslim on social media, Facebook Every Day Muslim, on Instagram Every Day Muslim 01. Inshallah, the program will make its way back to your your airwaves next week, same time, 11 a.m., same station, WFM 91.7. I mean, Abdul Hakim Qasim. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Masi sondele, masi sondele, pila no kolo, yelele.
Subhanallah, walhamdulillah. لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر سبحان الله والحمد لله لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر You can say it once or 100 times or more You feel at peace inside and it'll open every door That's the power of remembering Allah It's the best way to purify your heart Know you will be loved by the merciful one Cause that's the الحمد لله لا إله إلا الله الله أكبر سبحان الله والحمد Subhanallah, walhamdulillah.